So my name is Jaime Rodriguez. I'm a Windows 8 evangelist. I've been building Windows 8 applications since last year, since we announced it built, maybe a little bit earlier. And some of the showcase apps that you see in the store, a lot of those logos you saw today at the keynote, I've been helping some of those partners build their apps and giving them advice and stuff like that. We're going to spend the next hour talking about contracts. My goal is to, you know, get you up to speed on contracts, tell you what they are, the motivation, and then give you a lot of pragmatic tips and tips and, you know, show you how to code contracts while we're here. Right, so it's very deep dive, kind of a lot of code, you know, very geeky presentation. Hopefully you guys can go with that. The motivation for contracts, something that I do want you to understand, because it's very relevant. It allows you to get the right mindset into how we think about it. And I always tell the story that I've been told from the planning team that they said, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, we sat down and we figured out, we were trying to reimagine, like everything else we did for Windows 8, what connected apps look like. We got in a room and we looked at connected apps and we found these common patterns that connected apps had, right? And the one thing that we found is that most of the apps have content, rich content, right? And this content, people want to search, people want to, you know, find into that content, people want to search, share, you know, somebody, you want to print it, you want to save it to device, so you want to do all this stuff, and it's all around the content. And that we thought, hey, you know, this concept of connected apps, the apps have to be connected to the cloud. That's something we take for granted. That's where we were coming from. But as we reimagined and we said, hey, connecting the apps to each other is a lot more interesting. There's a lot more scenarios that you can do if you can create the content on one app and enhance it on another app, right? And that's the concept of contracts. That's where we come from, right? So contracts are just agreements between apps and the OS to accomplish a common task in a consistent, easily accessible manner, right? And the key from all that, you know, sentence is consistent, easily accessible. Most of you are going to get a Surface today. You're going to go home, and if you pay with it for, you know, 1 hour every day for a week, you're going to find yourself next week doing this, poking at your laptop, and your laptop will not have touch, but your muscle memory will be in used to just, you know, using touch with it, right? So anybody experienced that before? It happens, right? See, I'm not lying, right? So that's exactly what's going to happen with contracts, right? As you will find yourself poking at your laptop, and the next thing that you're going to find yourself doing is going to be, you know, swiping right here from the, you know, right-hand side of your screen and having the charms come in, right? And the charms is where most contracts get launched from, right? So this is a consistent way. If you want your application to be always available, right, always there, ready for the user to launch it, right, you want to have a contract. Right? I can tell you today, for me, I go in there and, you know, for example, I search into my news application a lot more than I go into the start menu and click onto the news application. Right? So by now, I've been using Windows 8 for a while, and I search just as much as I do launching the application from scratch. So you want to make sure that you're available from within that terms. You want to make sure that you're available from, you know, for your user to very quickly launch you. And that's what contracts is going to get you. I'm thrown off by this extra view here, but we'll go through that. So let me show you, you saw contracts a lot at the keynote today, so I'm going to just show you a very quick demo for anybody that didn't quite get it, or for anybody that saw it in action but wasn't really familiar with the term. So the concept comes a little bit from this. Let's just launch, for example, the mail application. And tomorrow's Halloween, so my wife actually asked me, you know, Saturday to go in there and dig pictures from previous Halloweens just for making a collage, something a little bit fun. So this is the mail application. Hopefully you will see it if you haven't run Windows 8, or you'll see it after today. And I'm going to go here and say, hey, I'm going to go look for attachments, the images, pictures of last Halloween. Now I want to get the last 3 Halloweens. So what you'll see here is, for example, I do have in my hard drive, in my pictures folders, pictures from last year's. Right, so I can go here, and you see that's what my boy went as last year at Halloween. Right, he was a kind of a rock star type. Now, if I want to go farther, like 2 years ago, unfortunately, those pictures are no longer on my hard drive. Right, but from within this mail application, I can do the exact same action. I can just say attach a picture, and this is launching this file picker contract, which you're going to learn about. Right, and it's just one example, and you can see here. I can go in there, just like I did earlier for pictures and documents folder, I can go here and actually search into apps. So for example, I can go into the photo app, right? And in the photo apps, I have pictures from SkyDrive and Facebook, right? And this can also connect to Flickr. So I know that, you know, the previous Halloween, I have pictures for my kids on Facebook. So I can come back here, find his picture, attach it, and now I got 2 years, Right, and Halloween's tomorrow, so I actually had my kid dress up for a, we did a dress rehearsal yesterday so I could get the picture. He felt really important and he was happy. So, and I put my picture, I took it with my phone, so it's on SkyDrive. So I can come back here, go into SkyDrive, and you'll get to see some of my pictures. And I'm guessing it's this one right here. Oh, come on, I hope I have a connection. If not, let's just attach this picture and we're okay. So I'm looking at SkyDrive because I think I picked the wrong folder. So I'm looking at SkyDrive and let's just attach a picture from SkyDrive. But the, you know, the interesting thing for you to see here is that I'm in the mail application and I just connected to Facebook, SkyDrive, and my pictures library. And if you want to know how many lines of code that is within the mail applications, that's one line of code that says file open. Right, and it launches the picker, and everything else is done through the contracts. Right, they, somebody wrote code within the application to implement the contracts and do all that, but you know it's seamless to you as a developer, right? And it's very efficient for the user because they're using one single API that they're very familiar. They're, you know, they'll always be familiar with that file open dialog, right? You'll see that for file open and for file save. Now that scenario is pretty simple, and that scenario is not that different from connecting apps before we reimagine it. Right, when we got into connected apps and we said, hey, let's reimagine it, we took it a little bit farther. Right? And remember when I said, you know, contracts is about it, or the connected apps is all about content, it wasn't just about files. So you can do much more. So for example, right here, I can go here and just do a search from within my start menu. And I can say, let's search for salad, right? And I can I have a list of applications here that I can search through the search contract. So I'll go right here, launch a cookbook application. I can look. Right? Now, this cookbook application right here has the dish and has the recipe. So, for example, right here, I have a recipe for tiramisu. If you know me, I'm a sucker for chocolate and desserts. Right? So, here's what I need to do. I need to, you know, from within this cookbook application, I can send the recipe as is, you know, through that search. I found it. I can just back here come out and say, hey, use the shared contract that you're going to learn about and mail it to my wife. Right? Just like we did the attachment to those pictures. But I like to cheat a little bit. Right? So, what I like to do is actually from within this recipe application, I'm actually going to send it, I'm going to share it to another application called I Love Notes, which is my notes application. And you'll see here, I'm just going to go in there and say, go ahead and share this recipe, right? And I put it into a notes application. And the reason I did that is because when I'm here sharing from the Contoso Cookbook app, I cannot tweak the recipe, right? But if I go back into the notes application, which right now you see is not even running, so I'll go back here to the start menu, and I'll launch it from here. And you'll see here, first of all, this is the notes application, and you see here, this is the demo notebook, and you see the tiramisu that I just pasted. Now here, I can come back and edit the directions. I can double the chocolate, right? Now it's ready for me to share with my wife. So from here, I can go back to my wife and say, hey, honey, you know, let's go share, and I'll just go ahead and mail it, right? And I'm using the share contract, and it's the recipe there, and it would have double the chocolate. See why contracts is really important? Now, all of that, right, I'm going to show you how to do all of that in the next 45 minutes, right? So that's what contracts is about. That gives you a little bit of the action of what we have to do. So now, the one thing I want you to remember from today is this. Contracts are going to be very easy. Windows does all the heavy lifting for you to focus on your scenario. So I'm going to go in there and start coding you some contracts. And you're going to see that every time I do something, two things are going to happen. The first one, I'm going to code about 10 lines of code. Right? So it's going to be very little code. Now, the second thing is the UI is going to look very ugly. Right? I'm a developer, not a designer. So here what you have to take is all of the heavy lifting that I'm going to do, like 10 lines of code, is just going to be me connecting things to Windows so that Windows and other apps that implement contracts can do all the work. So the really hard stuff like passing files around and passing content around is being taken care of, right? I'm going to show you how to wire it up, and then you do have to work to focus on your scenario, do the domain expertise, beautiful, you know, build beautiful UI and all that. But it's not going to be hard because contracts did all the hard stuff, which is the how do we pass the files around and everything else. So let's start with an easy one. Let's start right here with the share contract. And again, this slide is driving me. But share kind of plays like this. You saw me do share earlier when I did this, you know, send recipe. I actually share it from the cookbook onto the Notes app, and then you saw me actually share from the Notes app onto the mail, right? And it always kind of played like this. There was two players. The first one was the source, which was the cookbook, and the second one was the target. And these are two different contracts. So for example, you write your app and you can decide, hey, I'm going to be a source only. That's okay. Or you can write your app and say, I'm going to be a source and a target. That's okay too. Right? So you'll see me write both. They're separate. You don't have to do both, but it's nice to do both if you can, if it's applicable to your scenario. And then what you see in the middle was, of course, Windows did all of that stuff where we had a share pane and the pass. There was, you know, content being passed back and forth and everything else. So you'll see a little bit of that, you know, in a minute. This is kind of the high level, the user view into the view. Let me give you a little bit of the geek out view, just so you kind of get an idea of what's going on. And this is just, you know, exactly what's happening, right? We do have a source app. We have a target app. And you see that the source app is registering for an event. We're going to code this in a minute. And then the operating system is just calling it back and telling, hey, give me some data. And then they're passing it back to the share, to the target app, right? And the beauty of this is that, again, Windows is doing all the hard part, the dealing with the resources, the securing the resources, all of the stuff is happening by Windows. You just have to do the handling of, you know, sending or putting the data and receiving the data back, right? I'm not going to do this a lot because this PowerPoint thing is driving me crazy a little bit, and also because it's much more fun to code than it is to look at PowerPoint. But all these slides that you see here, I'm going to tell you, hey, this contract has one or two steps. By the way, all contracts have four steps or less. They all fit on this one slide. Each one of them fits on one slide, so I'm not going to be going through all of them like this. But just to give you content, here's how you implement share source. We're going to do this in code in a minute. So all of them will be the exact same. If I don't go every single slide, you guys can come back and do it, you know, while offline. You'll see the slide, and you'll see the demo application. So you can download the source for Contoso. You can download the source for the Notes. Both are in JavaScript and C#, so you'll be able to see all of the code that we're doing here on your own. So let's go back here and just say file new project. The very most simple thing that we can do. So file new project. I'm going to start with a blank app, and let's just call this one source, right? And I'm not going to do anything here. So everybody here hopefully has done file new project before. This is a JavaScript project. I'm not doing anything, right? And I said, hey, there's two steps to it. And there's the two steps that we have to do right here are very simple. Step one was register for the event that says data requested. So this is actually from within your app. You're saying, hey, whenever you want some data, just call me back. This is the event listener, right? And then the second step is just put data onto that, right? So right here, I'm registering for data requested. Then I put a little bit of data. I'm putting a title onto the note. And then I'm keeping it real by making it asynchronous because that's something you would want to do. I'm actually fetching a file right here asynchronous. It's going to be an image, and it's going to be build logo. So let's go ahead and just say add existing item, and I'll add it right here. So I'll add the logo, and then we're good, right? And that's it. So I've added 10 lines of code onto this project. Very simple, you know, two steps. I can press F5, right? The UI is going to still look very ugly, but now if I... the PowerPoint got rid of my touch. So if I do Windows H, which is going to be the shortcut for sharing, you can see that my application is now ready to search and for share. And I can go back here and just say, share it to the target JavaScript sample, which is going to tell you everything that's in the package. So I just passed that build logo image onto that share target app with those five lines of code. Right? Now that's pretty cool, but it's not exciting. It's kind of like, I had a clipboard. Right? That's kind of like not that different from a clipboard. So let me show you something that might be a little bit more interesting. Exact same contract, share, right? I do exact same thing. Actually, I go here to settings. Now I go into devices. Now I can do tap and send. Tap and send is actually another version of Windows. It's kind of an extension where I can come back here and through that same contract, I can say, hey, tap and send. Now right here, if I click it on to 7, I have a different Nike device that we got from last year, and this has NFC. Both of these devices have NFC. So I can come back here And you see that the UI here on the Nike device is saying, hey, you want to receive content? And I say, sure. Right? And now it's connecting. Receiving content. You see the logo right there. I just say import. Done. Open folder. Oh, what happened? Did it not bring it? It's there. And the image is there. NFC from one device to another, we tap and send 10 lines of code. That's shared contract. Right? It's that simple. Cool. Now, I told you before, there was two players on share. The first one is the share source, which we just coded, and it's just that simple to code a share source. Now let's go back and try to code a share target. That one has four steps, so it's a little bit more, and I'm going to walk through the first time I build this contract slowly, so that, because you're going to see the same patterns over and over. Whenever we build contract, we're going to use the same pattern over and over. So I'll go back here, and then just exit out of here. Go back into Visual Studio, file new project. So debug. Stop debugging. Thank you. Make sure you guys keep doing that. We're not going to use that anymore. But do remind me if I don't switch, because I tend to not do that. So I do file. So I'm going to go right here, file, new project. And I'm just going to do, this time I'm actually going to select a navigation app. If you're going to do a shared target, or if you're going to do most any app that has navigation, navigation app is a good base to start with. So I'm using this one instead of a blank app, just because within a shared target app, you do want to navigate. So I'm just getting a little bit more infrastructure. So I'm just going to call it share. Actually, just share demo right there. And we're OK. Do file new. And again, this one's going to be four steps. So it's going to be a little bit more code than last time. But you know what? All this code is going to be written by Visual Studio. So I'm just going to right-click here. This is an empty project right now. And I'm just going to say add new item, right? And I'll just say add a shared target contract, right? And if you're familiar with Visual Studio templates, this is going to generate a little bit of code. It's going to do a few things. And it's going to do everything that we need for us to have a shared target, again, before we implement our scenario. So let's walk through a little bit of what it did, because this is something interesting that you want to get familiar with, so you can kind of get how shares work all together. First step, shared target is actually a contract that is launched by the OS, right? So the OS is actually launching us, right? It's called activation, right? The OS activates us. So right now, the way this works is simple. When we said file, add new, share contract, it actually went into the manifest for my app. The manifest, hopefully you're all familiar with, is where all my metadata for the app is there. And in my declaration, it added share, right? And it did a little bit of things. It just said, hey, I'm going to support text and URI. If I wanted to add a new format, I could. I don't need it. And then right here it says, hey, what kind of files do you want to support? I'm going to say supports any type. And then it says, hey, when Windows activates this application, what should we do? And we're telling it, hey, our start page is going to be sharedtarget.html. That's where, Windows is going to activate. So they're going to launch us and, bring us into here. If you were doing it in C#, you would tell it what class, right? It's the equivalent of that. Right, so that was the first step, is just registering, in your manifest so that Windows knows. And remember, when we look at it, when we go into Windows, we're going to do share, and Windows brings in a list of applications that are good share targets, right? So that's what it's happening right there. My manifest is registering with Windows whenever the application gets installed, right? And then if you go look at the code, here's what the code does. This is a pattern that you're going to see everywhere. And you're going to see that, whenever I said there's four steps, step one is going to be register your manifest. Step two is handle activation, which is this one line of code right here. You always want to listen to the app activated event. And then you always want to say, hey, am I being activated from, a shared target or a search or whatever kind of contract you have, right? So in this case, we're going to go here and say, hey, we're going to be activated from a shared target. And if we are activated from a shared target, let's just show UI that's specific to that, to the shared target UI. So this is just very basic stuff that they're putting in there, right? It's that simple. If I showed you this right now without extra lines of code, this would actually work. But I'm going to add extra lines of code to spice it up a little bit. So what you see here is from within this shared target, there's an interesting one right here where we can go back and say, hey, on the click event, you'll see the UI, and the UI is going to have this submit button, right, where it's going to be where we would do our domain expertise, right? So where we would go back and say, oh, somebody's sharing this content with me, let me go back, and there I would handle it. And it's right here saying, hey, on the click event of the submit, button, go ahead and call onShare submit. So that's where we go back and add our business logic. So you see here, the one thing that you have to do is you have to do that one right there, share.report completed. You always want to, whenever you're in a share operation, you want to report completed when you're done, right? So in this case, I'm going to replace that with a little bit more code so we can do something more interesting. So I'll go back here. And I'm just going to say share target one. It's just a snippet. And this snippet, I'm just going to show you. If we were looking at share, and this is where it's submitted, here, this is how we would sniff to see what kind of data was passed in. Because when you're a shared target, you can be passed different types of data. You can be passed HTML, you can be passed text, a URI, a bitmap, files, so storage items, right? Or you can be passed something, you know, proprietary, like a different schema that an application implements. You can go to schema.org, look at any of the schemas there, and you can implement it in your app. And as long as another app registers to handle that same, you know, schema, everything will be fine, right? So here's how you would go in there and just kind of sniff, hey, what kind of data is being passed in? I'm just showing you the code. We're not going to do anything with it, right? And then the next thing that we're going to do is I'm going to show you something cooler too, which a lot of people tend to not do when shared. That's why I wanted to show you this one. Right? This one, what I'm going to do is, so when the share is happening, one of the things the share can do is create this thing called a quick link. Right? So somebody's sharing onto you. Like, for example, I've used the example of mailing my wife 3 times. I actually mail her that often a day. Right? So I annoy her constantly, especially when I'm on Surface and I'm just like, I see a cool article and I just, oh, mail it to her. Right? So, you know, for me, having a quick link where whenever I launch the mail application and that automatically says, oh, send it to Monica, right, it's pretty useful. And that's something that I'm showing you how to do right here. So here, I'm just going in there and saying, hey, somebody's sharing something onto us, and then let's just go ahead and create a quick link. Ironically, I'm adding more lines for the quick link than we did for all the shared together, right? But I wanted to show you the functionality. So here, I'm just going in there saying, hey, create a new quick link. And it's, you know, adding an image. So let's go ahead and add an image. With a quick link, we'll have a thumbnail. So you can see here in a minute what the thumbnail is going to be. So I'll go back there, add the thumbnail. Let's just replace this. Right? And all it's doing is creating a quick link. And then whenever I'm going to do the work to, you know, add the thumbnail, give it a little bit of a quick link title so that we can recognize it. And then I'm going to call report completed. That's the one thing that I have to do out of share. I could have skipped all this code and just said report completed, like this line shows right here, and that would have been enough. But I wanted to show you quick links because it's a cool thing. And I don't see enough apps with quick links in the store today. So that's it. Now I'm a shared target. Now, if you remember when we were a shared target, the OS is going to launch you. So something I want to show you is how to debug onto this kind of application, right? Here's what you do. I'm going to do it on a simulator just so that I can put a breakpoint. Oops, actually, I did it the wrong way. So there, I launched my application, and, you know, it launched my application. Nothing's happening. That's not being activated from within a share, right? So I overclicked there. So let me show you how you want to do it so that you activate it from within a share. So I'm just going to do debug store debugging, and I can go here, debug properties, and Visual Studio has this really cool thing that says, do you want me to launch the application? And I can just say no, right? So here I can say no, right? And then Visual Studio is just going to wait until somebody activates me. So somebody goes into the share and then selects my target, and then when I get activated, that's when Visual Studio is going to attach. So it does all of that for me automatically. So I can come back here, I'll put a breakpoint here just so that we have something to show you that the breakpoint's actually working. Right, and everything else looks good. And then the last thing I'm going to do is I'll show this to you in the simulator so that we can see it and, you know, we can put the breakpoint and everything else. So I'm just going to go there, debug, start debugging. This is our Windows simulator. Hopefully you've all seen it. It's actually kind of running Windows within Windows. That's how we test and debug stuff. Right now it's emulating touch, so I can come back here. And I'm just going to launch an application. So I'll launch the cookbook, and I'll come back here and just say share, right? Oops. And cookbook needs to have a recipe selected. So I can come back here and now share. And what do we call it? Share demo is the name of our app. It's right there, right? So we're already registered as a target. That's what the manifest did. And I'll just select it. And you'll see our UI came up here. Right? The breakpoint hasn't been hit because I haven't clicked the submit button, which is right there. When the submit button happens, I just press F5, and the share now completed, and obviously it got dismissed, right? Now, how do you know that it got completed? Well, for one, we added a quick link. So when I come back here and I say share again, right, you see right there, quick link with shared demo, right? So it remembers, you know, that's the quick link. Next time, if I wanted to share the exact same thing or to go, you know, with the exact same action within the target app, I have a quick link right there, so I can just select onto that and have the action happen, right? That's how easy it is to have a shared target, right? Again, just a few lines of code, and we've just implemented share, both share source and shared target. Let's go back to PowerPoint for a minute and talk about a few things here, right? So these slides we saw, right? You saw all these slides. I'll show you all of this in code. So a few tips for those of you that want to do sharing. The first one is, if you're a share source, implement as many data formats as appropriate. If you go back and look at that little snippet that I showed you with share source, I was sharing a bitmap, and I knew it was a bitmap, but I actually said, hey, I'm going to share it as a bitmap and as a storage item. And the reason that was useful is because when you do the tap and send only sets storage items or URIs. So if I had chosen to only do one format, right, that wouldn't, the tap and send demo wouldn't have worked. By me choosing to do two formats, I'm actually opening myself to more targets listening, because, you know, the operating system matches my source to the target. They actually go in and say, hey, you have to have matching types. So if you have application, if you have data that you want to share, make sure that you share as many targets as you can, right? If you're actually writing the target, here's some tips for you. First of all, use the Visual Studio template. You saw how easy it is. It stops everything for you. It's kind of a nice thing. Second, make sure you do build a beautiful UI. What I showed you there was totally ugly. It was just the shortcut to it. So make sure you actually do a beautiful UI. Never forget to report completion. If you don't report completion, you'll have a long-running share. So one of the nice things about share is that they can run long. So if, you know, in case your operation will take long, PLM is not applicable to share. Right, so when you actually do a share, you get 30 minutes to complete that operation, right? So we could have a long run, and if you don't report completed, then it's just going to fail after it times out, right? So just make sure that you always report completed. And then if you're implemented search and your application is applicable for quick links, make sure you implement quick links. It's a really cool thing that differentiates your app, as you saw that. And again, I don't see enough quick links in the store. And then the last thing you saw me there, how to debug Visual Studio. Some of the frequently asked questions that I get from people that want to implement share, some people come and say, hey, I want to control who my application shares with. And the answer is you cannot do that. You control the format. So if you have something proprietary that you only want to share with another one of your apps, create a custom format that nobody else understands, and you know, you'll be able to share only within your app. Outside of that, if whatever you expose that other apps can handle, we will automatically go ahead and share with that, right? I already said there's no PLM, and then if you're actually doing long-running operations like uploading a file to SkyDrive or something like that, consider using the background uploader class. That's kind of a best practice that we would recommend. Share has special functionality towards using that class within Share, so they actually have a special method where you pass control onto the background uploader. Right. Couple of questions that I get around quick links are, can I pre-configure my quick link, right? Can I put something in my metadata such that my app is always ready with a quick link? And the answer to that is no. The first time the user shares, you create the quick link, and then from there on, you can use it, right? The next thing that I get, should or can the quick link image be different from my application icon or be the same than my application icon, right? If you remember, I added that little V logo, and I wanted to make sure that it was not the application logo. So when you create a quick link, make sure that that's not your application logo. That's something we definitely want people to have a differentiated, you know, experience from the logo. So we want to make sure that they have a different way to recognize it. So that's search. That's pragmatic advice. It's very easy. Let's moving on to search. With search, it's very simple, right? The search contract is just going to make your application available to search from anywhere in the system, right? This gesture of swipe, right, from the right-hand side, you'll be doing it in a week, right? And that's what you want to do. You want your application to always be there. When the user swipes, you want them to actually just type something, and that would launch your app and get into it. You saw me do it with the Contoso cookbook application, right? So that's what search is going to do. The anatomy of search is slightly different from what we did with Target, with share source and Target, because here we only have one player. It's usually your app, right? And so search kind of looks like this. First of all, we have what we call the search box, which is right here where people are going to type something, right? That's one of the players that we have. That's all, you know, implemented by the OS. Or if you, if for example, your application is active, the search box comes up, and that's actually applicable to your application. So anything that we do there will automatically be going against the active app, right? So if your application is up and it implements search, you'll see in a minute that all of the, you know, requests are going to be going straight into your app. We don't have to launch a new app unless the user actually goes into this, you know, step two or this second item here, which is the applications that implement search. So when the search comes up, the user can type WA, and from there they can decide, hey, I'm going to do Bing search, or I'm going to give it to the current active app, or, you know, I'm going to search, you know, I'm going to use any other app in this list. The third item that plays in the search anatomy is this whole concept of suggestions. And you see it right here. Whenever I type WEA, I get suggestions like, hey, do you want weather? Do you want weather channel? Do you want, you know, all these extra suggestions that you have, right, that you can have. And then the last item is you can also get results, right? So just like, you know, I can have a suggestion, I can just have a result. If I type WEA, and you know that I live in Redmond, right, you can pretty much put a cloudy out of there, you know, without even checking the weather. Right, as you saw from the weather today, right? We've had a beautiful summer, but, you know, we're already, you know, late October, and from here on it's a cloud every day, right? You could put it in there and you know, be much more faster than any other app, right? So let's go implementing search, right? Again, it's going to be four steps. I'm just showing you this, but let's show it to you in code because that's a lot more fun. So I'm going to go back here. And this time, file new project. I like to start from scratch every time, so you don't see us building a lot that you're like, oh, what happened? Did he cheat? Did he bring something in there? So this time, I'm going to bring a grid app. So I showed you last navigation. This time, we're going to do grid, mostly because grid has a lot of functionality to already represent data. And since we're going to be searching, it's cool to have data, right? So let's just go ahead and create and just call it search demo. And I'm just going to go in there and select the grid app. Now, the grid app, by default, has some data that, you know, it's not as good. So let's go ahead and bring some data in here, right? They have kind of data that we won't be able to differentiate because they're all, you know, item one, item two. So let's go right here. And first, I'm just going to say add new folder and then just call it data, right? And I'm just going to go into this folder and I'm just going to say add existing item and I got some data right here. This is actually the recipe data that you've seen me use elsewhere. It's easy to search. So this is just JSON data. If I click on it, you'll see it's just a JSON file that has data. Because I'm bringing all that data, I'm going to replace the data.js file that reads that data. I'm not cheating here. It's just swapping the data. You'll get, you know, when you download the source, you'll see all this stuff. So I'm just going to say add existing item, and I'm going to bring data.js. Right, and then the last thing that I need to do is I've got this folder right here with images, right? And I'm going to go back here and I'm going to build a lot of images because all of this is doing local searches against the app. So I'm just going to drag and drop here into Visual Studio. By the way, if you ever want to drop like 50 files onto Visual Studio at once, just drag and drop like I did, and that does it. Right, you don't have to go in there and add new item individually. So that right there, this is a grid app. We haven't done anything right now. We're not implementing search or anything like that. Let's just do a sanity check. I can come back and you see here, I've got the recipe data, you know, basic default UI, but we got something that we can search. Now, if, for example, right there, I type, you know, Windows Q, which is the shortcut for search. You see that it says, hey, this app can't be searched because we haven't implemented the contract yet. Four steps, we got to do the work. Right, so that's it, but right now we have a little bit of data, so we can go there. Cool. So now I can go back into Visual Studio, debug, stop debugging. Right, and four steps, but we're going to cheat again because I can just go here and say add new item and do the search contract. Right, so they're going to do all the work for us yet again. And this time right here, I'll walk you through the code again. It did the exact same thing that we did before. It went to the package manifest and did a declaration because it's actually something, you know, the OS will activate us onto search. Now, there's something interesting thing that I want to highlight here. You see that it actually added search, but it did not add a start page. Right? So in the last time, we said, hey, start us in sharedTarget.html. Here, the template by default doesn't add a start page. And the reason it doesn't do that is because it generates code such that you navigate, you know, from the search page. When, you know, when your application is activated, you can navigate onto the search page. So you see here, the second step for all of our contracts. First contract is declared in the manifest. Second step is go ahead and handle activated. So right now, if you look at the second step, we're saying, hey, if we've been activated from search, let's go ahead and navigate onto the search page. And the reason this is neat is because that way, search will be launched, but if I click the back button, I'm going to go into the main page for my app. And that way, you don't exit the app and you have a back button there. That's why it's kind of a decent pattern to have. Now, with all of these, the one thing that I do have to do is, you know, I use the contract, and the contract needs to insert this script onto the default.html for my project, right, so that we know to call onto this, you know, event handler, or onto this code that is going to listen for the event handler for activated. So I'm just going to go back here, and I'll add it. Right? And if I showed you just that right now, we would have search already working. Now I'm going to go ahead and do an extra step, and I'm going to do it now so that I can show you all the functionality. But if I launched it right now, we already have search, we already would have the navigate. I'm going to add an extra step where we add, you know, suggestions and little improvements onto search so we see it all at once. So I'm going to go here, and two things that I need to do. The first one actually is, see here, when search looks and says, hey, you've been activated, so navigate onto the search page, which is going to be the search results page. And so one thing that I have to do is I've got to go back here onto the ready event on my search page, and I got to replace the data, because remember, we swapped the data. So this is very similar. I'm actually adding code that does this very same thing, but it's actually, in fact, you'll see the code right here is about the same. All I'm doing is adding this data load async, right? Because we added different data, and our data is loaded asynchronous because we're actually reading a file. So everything else is the exact same thing. It's just populating the list view. It's the exact same result list, item template, and everything else. So all I did is added the load async there. So let's just take all this stuff out, right? And now we have data that's being populated onto a search page, so we can actually search. And then the last thing that I'm going to do is this. If you wanted a basic search, in-app search, right, you see right here we're listening to the onQuery submitted event. And that means for in-app search, whenever the search box comes up, onQuery, whenever the user press enter, right, that onQuery submitted event is going to fire. And all we're doing here is just saying, hey, go into the navigate onto the search page and pass the arguments. And one of the arguments there is the query text. Right, and we can do that. All of this stuff is, you know, magically happening through the template or automatically happen through the template. Now, none of this has all this extra stuff that I told you about, the search suggestions, right, and the result suggestions. So I'm going to go ahead and add it, right there. And what we're doing here is we're just adding another event handler. It's the exact same thing, app model. You would listen on the search pane and just say, hey, on suggestion requested, which is when the user types a letter. So if the user starts typing a letter on it, right, there's a callback onto our app that says, hey, you know, give them some tips, right? They type WEA, tell them weather, right? So that's exactly what we're doing here. And I kept it real. So what I did is I actually made a call to a web service. Just so that I could have asynchronous, and you see a little bit of the delay. And then all I'm saying, because we're searching onto recipes, I said, hey, you know, if somebody searches for S or, you know, salt, pepper, water, look for ingredients that normally go into a recipe. And then the last thing that I did is I said, look, if I don't find a match, so if the user types a letter that I don't find a match that doesn't have any, that doesn't begin with any of these five or six keywords that I added, just go ahead and give them a result, because again, much like it's always, you know, cloudy in Redmond, I know what the result is going to be. So let's just go ahead and run it from there. So now I just go back and say debug, start debugging. And last time when I did Windows Q, right, it said we cannot search. Now it says we can search, right? So it didn't say we cannot search. So now I can start, for example, you know, typing something here. And you see I typed the S and the suggestions came up, so it automatically did salt and sugar, right? And if I type something that, you know, is not a suggestion, is not in the keywords, for example, the Q, it says, hey, you want a dessert. You get it right with a dessert every time, guys, right? So that's it. Now I have search, and just to show you that this actually works, so let's type for the letter I. That way we get a lot of results. And see what the template did. The template created this results page, and it's a really neat looking template. It's a list view. It already has grouping, right? So it has kind of grouping. You can do sorting here. So whenever you implement the search contract, make sure you have a really nice looking site where user can navigate through the data very quickly. I'm sure right now, like they have right here, my results, and I can actually just see the groups and everything else. So the grouping is there. It's different because my data doesn't quite align, but you get the idea here. And you always want to do that, have just a beautiful UI, you know, within your search window, dedicated, something different than I would get out of the main window right here, right? Something that I can sift through very, very quickly. That's what search is all about. That's it. Second contract down, probably 20 lines of code, all app. Right, so let's go back and see if we have some tips. So we've implemented search. Now a few tips. If you implement the search contract, make sure you do it in the charms. So unless you're Google or Bing or any application where all they do is search, you don't want a search box in your app. Right? The user will always know to swipe away, swipe in and actually just call on to search. So you don't have to waste CRUM and put an ugly search button that you spend a lot of time customizing, and then you'll have to do drop down for suggestions and all that stuff. We've done all of that for you in a universal manner. Right? So make sure if you implemented search, you do it through the charm. That's by far the best way to do it. Right? Make sure you have a great results page. I already said that. Right, make sure you implement, provide suggestions, make sure you have placeholder text. And the last thing that I have is, when you think about search, make sure you understand, search is not find, right? Let's imagine that I want to read a news story, right? So I can go in there and, open today's newspaper and search for the article that I want to read, right? Maybe something about the storm or whatever. So I can go in there and search for the article I want to read. Now, once I'm within the article, I might want to find a specific keyword, like a city, like New York or something like that. That is not the same than search, right? So when you think about your application and think about search, search is all about, hey, let me go find content, right? Let me go find that container that people are going to naturally go looking for. Don't try to find search, or don't try to implement a find, instead of a search. Right, that's too detailed. Let your application handle that. Once you get to that article, if you want to have a find within that article, that's fine. But that's not the same than search. So make sure you kind of differentiate and you think about it so that the scenario is very consistent with everything we do, everything else we do on the OS. Frequently asked questions around search. People always ask me, hey, how do I get my app to be at the top of the search list, right? People want that. Well, you can't, right? All you got to do is write a really great app, and then Windows will automatically bubble the most frequently used apps, through search. They'll always bubble up to the list, onto the top of the list. So if you want to be at the top, just write a really great app, and then you'll bubble up on your own, right? So just the most common ones will always bubble up to the top. Something else that people ask is like, hey, can users turn search on and off for my app? And the answer is yes. Next time I go into Windows so I don't switch, I'll show you how I can go in there and control the settings for both charms, share and search. So I can go back into Windows right here, right? And if I, for example, just do a search for search. Oops. Interesting, that's okay. So I can go here, and for example, I just do a search here for search. I can go into settings, and you can see here the user is in control. They can control right here on the top. They can control whether we have search, and then they can control which apps are on the search list. So they can turn things off that they don't use, right? Same thing for share. The user's in control of which apps come on the search, in the pane when you are selecting it. And they can even control, for example, how many items I have on that little quick list, or the quick links, right? So you can control how many of those do you get. So user's always in control. That's a commonly asked question. If you write a really great app, you'll be able to get there, right? So let's go back here, right? And then, well, the last one is if you're actually implementing suggestions, make sure like you think about it. And if you need to be asynchronous, like making a web request or something like that, go ahead and just, there's a deferral object on share. If you look at all those code snippets, I can go get a deferral that I say, hey, defer me until that network call comes back. So make sure that, you know, you plan your asynchronous code. It's totally okay to do asynchronous code. Just get a deferral and then call complete when you're done, and you'll be okay with your search code. The last contract that we're going to do today is file contracts. And you've seen file picker. This is the mail demo scenario. This one does not come out of the charms, right? But you saw me, like, you know, within mail, I did the file picker. You see me doing for other apps. There's only one file picker on the system, in the platform. So you'll always, the user will always be familiar with it, right? And the file picker contract just enables seamless integration between apps through that one file picker that's in the platform. Right, so it's one system experience that the user is very, very familiar with. If you want to see how data flows back and forth, this is kind of the equivalent diagram to what I showed you earlier. And what we have here that I want to highlight is this. You always have a calling app, right? In this case, it was mail. Now, mail is not implemented. There's no such thing as a, hey, the mail app doesn't have to implement any contract in order to just be able to call the file picker. So right here on this diagram, this application right here, doesn't know anything about contract, doesn't have to implement a contract or anything else. Then whenever they just call file open picker, that's when, you know, the OS comes in, they bring the picker, and then all that functionality with the contracts is happening from this to here, right? So here, we're going to implement a contract. There's two file picker contracts. You can say, hey, I can be a search for open, so that when the user comes file open picker, right, then they can go into your app, and you'll see in a minute how they can go in and pick files from within your app. Right? Regardless of whether your app has a file system or not, you can expose data that looks like files. Right? Or they can also do save. So for example, if I wanted to save into an application like I did earlier, or like, you know, I showed you for SkyDrive where I went in and got data from SkyDrive, I can just say save onto that app, and I can go back and save onto the app directly. And those are two contracts and they're separate. You can implement one, you can implement both. If you look at the Notes application, that one has both file save and file open. So you'll see it in a minute. Right? Four steps to implement and file open picker. It's the exact same thing that we've seen over and over. So let's just go and do one real quick. And I'm going to go back here. And I'm actually, because we have data here with this demo, I'm actually going to reuse this demo if you guys are okay, so we save some time. We already have data here. So this is my search app. I would have originally done a different, a full, you know, from scratch, but we have data here. So let's just go here and say add a new item. And in this case, we add a file open picker contract. File open picker is there. And you can see here, so this application now is going to implement search and file open, right? And it can implement share and any other one. So all the applications, like for example, again, the Notes applications will have share, search, file open picker, file save picker. It also has print and other extensions. So you can, your application can be as rich as you want it to be. Here's the file open picker contract, and it did update the manifest, so it did the work to actually update the manifest as you would expect because we're registering. So you can see here, it's just added the file open picker, and it's, you know, has a start page that we're going to be launched in. So this one is actually navigating straight onto that start page because we're going to be loaded within the file open picker experience, right? And then we can just go back here and see the data that it did. Like everything else, it just went back here, and it added a handler for the activated event. And we're just checking, hey, are we being activated from a file open picker? And then we're actually populating. And this is the exact same list view, or, you know, that we used earlier, or it's a similar list view using the exact same data, right? So this is just going to populate all the images that we have, you know, from within our app, right? And we can go back here. And then the magic happens here. So this is actually going to, you know, somebody's going to say file open, and then the file open picker dialog is going to go into our app and say, hey, show me thumbnails or show me whatever you have to share. And we're populating the list view here. And then we're going to say, look, whenever the list view selection changed, go ahead and update and call this method called update picker UI, which is where we're going to hand over the file so that, you know, the file open picker can decide or tell the user, hey, you can have access to this file. So here's the method update picker UI. And in this case, I'm just going to do it here. So this is our to-do list. I'll just go here. And I'll just add it onto here. Here's all we're doing. Whenever the selection changes, we're going to go back into the list view, see whatever items have been selected, right? See any new items that have been selected, and then we're just going to add the file onto what we call the basket. Picker UI always has a basket, and we can remove files, add files, and remove files. In our case, for this demo, I'm only adding files. So you see, if I unselect the file, there's a bug in the demo because I wanted to keep the code short, and I don't unselect it. So just make sure you don't make a mistake if you're shipping this, okay? Have your users always pick the right file, otherwise fix the bug. It's probably three more lines of code, so you'll be okay. So I can come back here and just say, you know, debug start, so let's just go ahead and deploy it. In this case, I'm not going to debug, I'm just going to say, deploy the solution, because we're going to launch it from somewhere else, so from mail. And I'm just going to go back here, and I can go into, for example, mail, which knows nothing about this recipe and all that stuff, and I'm just going to remove this, and I'll just say add a new attachment. And this is the exact same mail application that we used to search SkyDrive earlier. And now I can come back here, and there's my search demo. It's got the wrong name because, you know, we reused that demo, but I can come back here and search. It's got all my recipes, and it's going to pick one, right? And I click attach, and mail just got it. So we just implement the file open. We can do very similar operation and do file save back, right? It's not that hard. It's not that different. Exact same pattern. Everywhere, if I was to summarize what you have to learn about contracts, and, you know, again, take out that all the heavy lifting of contracts already being done for you, everywhere where you have a contract, you got to think, am I being activated by the OS? If yes, then go ahead and have, you know, declare on the manifest. If yes, go ahead and listen for the activated event, right? And then do your logic. It's that simple to implement contracts for anything, right? So that's it. Let's go back to the presentation and see what else we have. We probably have some tips. So cool. Implement the file pickers. Very similar tips to sharing. Make sure you support as many file types as you can. Make sure that you create a dedicated UI experience. Right? When the file picker comes up, you don't want to see that whole Chrome and everything else that we had within our recipes, right? We just want to get the files, and we want people to, or the user to have just enough context that they can get it done and not be convoluted, not launching our apps in full, right? We want to make sure that it's lightweight, that it's easy to get in and out of, right? You have different view modes when you implement file picker. You can go with thumbnails or you can go with a list. So just figure out whatever is more optimal for you, right? When you're actually implementing a file picker or a file save, make sure that you have a submit. Remember, I had to click on the button so that the user actually, you know, confirmed that they wanted to do the action. Make sure that you have that. That can be customized so you can change this submit to share or, you know, save or whatever text you want that's applicable to your app, right? And when they do that, make sure you have a visual confirmation. A lot of the apps that I see in the store, whether it's, you know, share or, you know, file open picker and save picker, they like, you, the user clicks on the app, on the button, and then it just goes away so fast that the user cannot tell, did it crash, did it work? So make sure you have a nice visual confirmation that, you know, the action happened and, you know, you'll have happier users. Right? Some of the common frequently asked, or the answers to the frequently asked questions around file pickers, you know, how are we doing the match or the selection between one application and the other? By file type. When the user calls file open picker, they can say, hey, I want a JPEG or Bing, and then we go back and match the, you know, match the supported file type to yours. That's why I told you earlier, implement as many file types as you can. The apps are not subject to PLM, like we talked about share, right? And somebody always asks, when there's, especially when they're doing file save, right? They say, hey, is there an event that my application gets whenever somebody saves? And the answer is no, there's no extra event, because remember, they're always activated. Right, then you did the operation. Right there you have control, so you can write code. So you can set a flag onto your application that whenever your application gets launched, you can say, hey, did anybody drop anything new so I can check? Right, so there's not an event that you can listen to. Your application is already being activated. You're writing code there. You can do whatever you need to make sure that you save enough state that when your user comes up to the application, you can say, hey, somebody did this operation earlier. And then the last one is people always ask, hey, what about the color from the search dialog? And that's the color that you select in your manifest for your application. So we always make sure we keep your brand there. I have a contract cheat sheet right here. This is just me telling you again everything I said earlier, like, hey, you're going to implement a contract. Find out if you need to edit the manifest. Find out if you have to handle activation. Find out if there's a Visual Studio template. And then, you know, I gave you a jumpstart class where you can go look at that class and very quickly know, oh, I'm going to implement this event and do this kind of operation. Now, the title of this slide, of this actual talk, I wanted to call it One Swipe Away. But people thought that was not going to be, you know, out of context, could be misinterpreted and all that stuff. So it came up with 1 + 1 = 3. And here's my recap for the talk, right? Take your app, figure out how you're going to add contracts, and you're going to get three really cool things. The first one is you're going to get happy users, right? Because your app is going to be better. You're going to get better ratings, and you're going to get more money, right? So that's why you got to go back and think about contracts and figure out how you can make your app a little bit better. And then if you want to go even farther, then we have a lot more integration points. And those are called extensions. We have, for example, a contact picker or you know, file activation extensions. We have print. We have a lot of other things. They're very similar to contract. They're just as easy to code as contracts, but they're not called contracts. But they're just as important, and they can make your app that much better. So make sure that you, you know, go in and research them. There's plenty of documentations. I've given you references here where I have, you know, all samples to every single contract. I have the design guidelines. Make sure you have a really great user experience for your contracts. So I've given you all the links that you need. And I'll go back and add here a link to the samples. So if you want to go download the Contoso cookbook and the notes application that I show you, I'll make sure that on this slide deck, when it's posted, you'll get it. So if not, just go to my blog, JaimeRodriguez.com, and you'll be able to download it from there. And that's it. Thank you very much for coming. For those of you that want to go get a Surface, go ahead. Anybody has questions, feel free to come up and ask, and I'll try to answer it.